Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to share God's word with you today. It's a very special day, and I want to just encourage you that God is with you. He's right there beside you. He's right there with you, and He wants you to be encouraged today that He's for you, that He's fighting your battles, that He is a good God who cares deeply about you. And I pray that this word would encourage you today. And it's a very special day, and you, as we go along, you'll see that. And I want to share a message this morning, the priesthood and impartation. And so this is another a message in our series, A Royal Priesthood. And I want to read to you from Numbers chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. And now Moses, he's frustrated. To get the context, he's frustrated with many needs all around him, and he's overwhelmed with the demands that he's facing. And so Moses finds himself in a very difficult place, and God shows up in his life. And I want to read to you these words from Numbers 11, 23 and following. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true." So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. He gathered the 70 elders and stationed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. And then he gave the 70 elders the same spirit that was upon Moses. And when the same spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but this never happened again. And two men, Eldad and Medad, had stayed behind in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them as well. So they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested, "Moses, my master, make them stop." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all." And then Moses returned to the camp with the elders of Israel. There's an incredible story about how Moses is overwhelmed in a very frustrating time. And God promises, "I'm going to bring the change. And I'm going to take some of the spirit that's upon you and I'm going to put it upon them. You know, I will take that same spirit," in verse 17, "I will take some of the spirit that's upon you and I will put that spirit upon them also." And that's a very important message for us as the priesthood of all believers, that we can receive God's spirit. You know, I love those words in verse 29 when Moses says, "Are you jealous for my sake?" I can see Moses almost in laughter at that as he makes that statement. "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all." And that was in response to Joshua's zeal. And it shows the very heart of God early on, that God had a longing early on for us to be a kingdom of priests. He had a longing early on for us all to be anointed with the Spirit, for all of us to have the Holy Spirit's power in our ministry as we are part of the priesthood of all believers. We're a kingdom of priests. And so there's an impartation that happens here of the Spirit. Moses is not only revealing his heart's desire that all the people would be full of the Spirit, but God's desire that all could prophesy, that all could do ministry. And it's a desire that all of us would be full of the presence of God as priests for God. You know, in Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, we find these words, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and they will not need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins." And so God wants us all as the kingdom of priests to be anointed with the Spirit, where we can minister and where we all know the Lord deeply. From deep within us, we have a knowledge of God. That's God's desire for us. You know, it's God's heart that the Spirit would not only be upon, but within. And that's what Jeremiah tells us is God's heart, creating a deep knowledge for God. As Romans 8 tells us, you know, the Spirit works powerfully in our hearts, causing us to cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit is at work in our hearts, developing a deep, intimate relationship with the Father, you know, giving us that assurance and giving us the ability to cry out to God, you know, Abba, Father, thank you, God. Abba, meaning Daddy. God, thank you for this relationship that Jesus has paid the price for, that I can know you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And today is a very special day. Today's a day to celebrate. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. And the early followers of Jesus were in the upper room when they experienced God's presence. They were in a kind of a peculiar place to experience God's presence in that upper room. But you're there at home, and God's Spirit can move in your heart and your life as well today. You know, Pentecost was an Old Testament harvest festival, also known as the Feast of Weeks, when they would celebrate harvest. And there was an incredible harvest that came on that first Pentecost Sunday. You know, 50 days after Jesus gave his life for us, during Passover, he sends the promise of the Father, and the church is born. You know, those early believers experienced impartation, just like the elders of Israel experienced impartation, only this was to a much greater level. They experienced impartation from Jesus' ministry. The Spirit that was on Jesus was given to them, and the Spirit that was upon Jesus allowed them to do ministry. And as the priesthood of all believers, it's the Spirit of God that equips us to do ministry. You know, John the Baptist spoke of this day during his time of ministry, and he said this in Luke 3:16, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He, being Jesus, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the apostles and the early believers, they experienced that in the upper room, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, meaning to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so you see, if we're going to serve as ministers in the priesthood of all believers, and that's what I'm encouraging you to do in this time, in this day and age in which we live, I'm encouraging you to be anointed by the Spirit and to be part of the ministry of all believers, the priesthood of all believers, as we minister to those who are around us in this time, who we're interacting with. And I know it's a small number of people, but how can we be priests to these people? And so, if we're going to serve as ministers in the priesthood of all believers, then we need the impartation of God's Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized, you know, in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, you know, by Jesus, as John prophesied that Jesus would do. And so we need the impartation of the Spirit. And we must ask the question, each of us individually must ask this question, has Pentecost happened to me? I pray that you would ask that question this morning. In all honesty, as you watch this video, that you would pray to the Lord and ponder that question. Has Pentecost happened to me? And if it hasn't, I want to say it's available to you. Pentecost is available to you. The anointing of the Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is available to you through the ministry of Jesus. You know, that's what Jesus has come to offer us, and that's what we're to be reminded of this Pentecost Sunday, the goodness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1, verses 4 through 5, Jesus said this, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." You know, again, "Do not leave Jerusalem," Jesus said, "until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, if anybody could have done ministry, so it seems, from just their abilities and their natural talents and their being trained by Jesus. Just think, these disciples spent every day with Jesus for about 3 years. They saw him pray. They heard him pray. They saw him preach. They heard him preach many sermons. They saw him do so much ministry. Doesn't it seem that they would already be equipped to do ministry? But Jesus says, "No, you're not ready. Now go." He says, "Don't leave Jerusalem till the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Don't leave yet, Jesus is saying. Don't leave Jerusalem yet. You're not ready. You need the Holy Spirit. And so if they weren't ready after all they'd seen, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit if we're going to be priests for God? And my encouragement to you this morning is just to ask, you know, has Pentecost happened to me? Because God wants it to happen to you, and he wants to anoint you with his Spirit for ministry. He wants to do great things through you. If Jesus needed the Spirit's anointing, how much more do we need the Spirit's anointing? And Jesus said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That's impartation. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God offers us his power to do his work and to do his ministry. You know, in Acts chapter 2, we find the story. We find the story of that first Pentecost Sunday when the church was born. And it's an incredible story. When you think about it, the early church leaders were gathered in the upper room, and they were in prayer, and they were waiting on the Lord, and they were in prayer, and they were in unity, a spirit of unity. And as they prayed and as they sought the Lord's face, the Holy Spirit came in such a dramatic way, in such a powerful way. And it tells us that when the Holy Spirit came, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There were cloven tongues of fire that appeared and settled on each one gathered. And everyone present was filled with the Spirit. They began to speak supernaturally in other languages. And something amazing happened in that moment. Peter became charged with power and courage. And that same Peter who denied Jesus in front of just a few people comes out this time declaring boldly the truth of God in the face of a large crowd in a public setting. Something had changed in Peter. And that something was impartation. He was touched by the Spirit of God. I want to read to you bits and pieces from that Acts chapter 2 passage. You can read it in full today if you'd like. Just to see where the church was born in that first Pentecost Sunday and what Pentecost Sunday is all about. But let me read to you from Acts chapter 2 verses 14 to 22. "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. And there's the story. And Peter's saying you can receive as well as his sermon continued. Verse 37 through 41. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And so here we find Peter saying, you can receive this same Spirit. You can receive the Spirit of God. You will, he says, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter is saying, God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have a deep relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to develop your relationship with the Father. He's the one who causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. And Jesus made the way for us to experience the Spirit and the Father, the beautiful Trinity of God. And so Peter challenges believers, you can receive the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sins. Come to Jesus and ask him for the fullness. You know what Peter's alluding to, what he's quoted, where he's quoting from is Joel in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. This is where he's quoting, and I want to read it to you. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. And so Joel calls this, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's great because the Lord's returning. The King is coming. And he's establishing his rule and reign upon the earth once again, where things will come back into peace, into harmony. And it's terrible. It's terrible for evil, for every form of evil, and for darkness and the enemy and all the terrible things that he's done in this world and that he continues to do through sickness, pain, war, disease, cancer, you name it. It's all got its roots in evil. And it's going to be terrible for evil on the day of the Lord. And Jesus is saying he's going to pour out his Spirit like never before upon the earth and upon his church. And it's going to be the great, glorious day of the Lord, because the church is going to be strong, a pure, spotless bride when the Lord returns. And our call as the church is to be full of God's Spirit, to seek out relationship with the Holy Spirit, to be anointed with the Spirit to do ministry, to be prepared by the Holy Spirit to encourage others to receive the Lord and his power and his forgiveness and his grace and that incredible power that keeps us from being swallowed by the things that would love to swallow and destroy us in darkness. And And God gives us the antidote, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's power for you today. There's power available in the Holy Spirit for you today, Pentecost Sunday. God wants to give you a Pentecost experience. He wants you to be anointed with God's presence and His Spirit. And so, do you have a relationship with the third person of the Trinity? Have you been immersed in His power? You know, E. Stanley Jones said this, the best translation of the Paraclete or the Comforter is probably the Strengthener. Con, meaning with, and fortis, meaning strength, where you get Comforter. Con, meaning with, and fortis, strength. One who strengthens us by being with us. The one who strengthens us by being with us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's not the weird uncle in the Trinity. Jesus was more anointed with the Spirit than anyone else in history. And yet there wasn't anything weird about him. Completely natural and yet supernatural. You know, the perfect personality. Jesus was the perfect form of personality. And the Paraclete, the Comforter, wants to come alongside you and strengthen you. E. Stanley Jones says, when He is within us, then we are no longer canceling ourselves out by our inner divisions. We're unified, hence fortified. And so I want you to remember the Holy Spirit is your strengthener. He's come to give you power and to give you strength. When you need it most, He's there to give you power and to give you strength. I want to read to you this from E. Stanley Jones's book, The Way to Power and Poise. And I want you to, he talks about the difference between a sailboat Christian and a steamboat Christian. And I think this is powerful. You know, the difference between a sailboat Christian and a steamboat Christian. And remember, this book was written in 1949, but the truth still stands. Listen to what E. Stanley says here. The difference between a person before and after the coming of the Holy Spirit within is the difference between a sailboat and a steamboat. The sailboat depends on environment, on circumstances. The steamboat depends on inner stances. It has power within and goes ahead with or without the help of the environment. Some are sailboat Christians and some are steamboat Christians. Some are circumstance directed and some are spirit directed. In the sailing vessel days, the doldrums in the southern mid-Atlantic were a terror to the sailors, for they were liable to be becalmed there with no breezes blowing. Now the doldrums have lost their terror, for steam power within carries the vessels through. Many Christians are in the doldrums, for they are without the Spirit's inner power. But with the Spirit's inner power, we go through the becalming dead spots that stop so many. Power to meet any emergency and with a margin to spare. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's your strengthener. He wants you to make you a steamboat Christian instead of a sailboat Christian. So when things come against you, you're still going. You still have power within you to keep going. Now, God's Spirit within you is a match for anything that would come against you. And Jesus would say, you know, don't leave till you have this power. Don't go out to the priesthood. Don't go out to ministry until you have the anointing of my Spirit, the promise of the Father, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Strengthener. And so I encourage you, again, ask yourself, have I experienced Pentecost? And if the answer is no, you can receive the Holy Spirit today, the immersion of the Holy Spirit, a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said this once, in a kind of a humorous manner, encouraging people in his day to, in ministry, to receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, Do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask you for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I love that from Jesus. You know, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? No way. If they ask for an egg or something to eat, do you give them a scorpion? No way. He's saying, you all know how to give good gifts. You love giving good gifts to your children. And Jesus is saying this, your Father in heaven longs to give you a good gift, a great gift. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus would encourage us, allow me to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus would encourage each of us with those words. That's what John the Baptist said of Jesus. He's the one who'll baptize us with the Holy Spirit, with fire. And have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Because he wants you to have an experience with him, a daily experience with him. Not where you're just filled once, but where you're continually filled with the Holy Spirit each and every day. And so I'd like to lead you in a prayer before we close. And first, I'd like to invite those who've never received Jesus to just pray with me to receive him. And for those who haven't experienced Pentecost, I'd love for you to have a personal Pentecost. I'd love to pray for you. So let's pray. We'll start out for those who like to receive Jesus today. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I pray that you'd come and wash away my sins. I pray that you'd forgive me for the things that I've done wrong, and I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love for me. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd come fill me. I pray that you become the leader of my life. I want to follow you, and I give the rest of my life to you in Jesus' name. And now I'd like to pray for those and for others who'd like to begin a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us so that we could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promise of the Father. And Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that you would send the promise of the Father, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. And just pray that in your heart. Lord Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to know your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would lead me into a deeper relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just pray for more of your power in my life. Holy Spirit, I pray for a stronger relationship with you, a deep anointing from you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for your power to do ministry as part of the priesthood of believers. Make me a priest for your glory in the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we just praise you and we love you. We thank you for this day where we remember your amazing gift and how you birthed the church on Pentecost Sunday, and how the church is strong. The church is not a building, but it's a people. And we pray that you just continue to move through us in this time. Help us to be the church. Help us to be the church everywhere that we go, everywhere that we are. And we pray for the anointing and the overflow of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is with you. He's for you. He loves you. You know, Jesus gave his all for you. What more could he give? And he loves you and he's for you. You know, we're going to have some updates this week coming on our Facebook page, on our website, about what we plan to do with church. And that information will be up by Friday afternoon at the latest. And so we're continuing to pray and seek God's wisdom in this time about how we should go about church. But I want to encourage you, we will have an update by Friday afternoon this week. God bless you. I'm praying for you. I love you. And the Lord is for you. Have a great day.